Let's see what happens when Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this is Jeremiah speaking, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, said the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel.
Yes, Lord.
I'm going to put a tag on this set just for just a short while. God is not letting go.
Yes.
God is not letting go.
Amen.
You can take your seats in the presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
Anyone in the back, they can walk on in. God is not letting go. As I found out personally, and some of you have experienced, and others of you have heard of, and you'll know that we are in the midst of an unprecedented epidemic of flu, influenza, and other things going around. We got coronavirus going on now. We're in the midst of an unprecedented epidemic of things going on. Wow.
Yeah.
As you all know, more of us are contracting the flu, calling out from work with fevers, sore throats, congestion. We fear that if someone coughing too much, they may have the coronavirus. Some people know their own way of treating the flu. Some people buy NyQuil. Some people use vapor rubs. Some people got their own home remedy that they use stuff for. I was watching the news and they were speaking about the spreading of these different viruses through the different states around the nation. They begin to talk about ways you can help keep yourself healthy. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Believe it or not, getting the flu shot is not the number one way to help you stop you from getting the true flu. There are some people that say they are just against it. If that is the correct way to fight it, they have problems with it. Me personally, I'm getting mine every year. First year I tried not to get it, like I said, I always get it. Getting the flu shot doesn't mean you won't get sick, and the flu won't kill you.
Right.
But everyone got their own thing. You want to try to do what you can.
Well.
But the number one recommendation of all those in this medical industry who deal with the flu and all the viruses is you must wash your hands.
Yeah.
It is critically important that you wash your hands to prevent the spread of germs. My last checkup, I just went. I go there every 3 months, get myself checked. I gotta keep on top of my game, Deacon Drake. Doctor asked me, tell me again what you do. I said, Doctor, you know what I do. I've been coming for 20 some years. You know what I do? I'm just checking you. Why are you asking? I don't know how close you come in contact with people. I said, I'm a people person. I like being, greeting, meeting, and getting in close quarters with people. Now, have you ever seen somebody extend a dirty hand? There's something unpleasant about a dirty hand.
Yes.
I see y'all down looking at your hand.
Yeah.
There's something that is unpeeling about someone who has dirt up under their nails.
Yes.
I'm not the only one here who feels the same way, but there's something repulsive about a person with dirty hands.
Yeah.
The irony of walking with God, Reverend Lyles,
as
you're walking with a God whose hands are always dirty. Now, some of you may get upset because your theology can't handle that, because you only have a pristine, holy image of God. So allow me to argue my case that God's hands are always dirty. That is what God shows Jeremiah down at the potter's house. To understand what goes on in Jeremiah, you have to know the context of the people of Israel at that time.
Yes.
Let me help you understand the context so you can appreciate the content.
Come on.
For those of you that are Bible readers, you know that after David comes Solomon. And after Solomon comes Rehoboam. Rehoboam is responsible for the division of the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, under Rehoboam's leadership, 10 tribes, Rock, seceded from the nation and formed a northern country called Israel, whose capital is Samaria. Two tribes from the southern region called Judah, whose capital is Jerusalem. So after Rehoboam, there are literally two nations, Israel and Judah. Israel is led by a succession of kings that the Bible said were more wicked than their predecessors. These kings subsequently led the people away from God. As a result, in 730 BC, God allows the Assyrian army to conquer the northern tribes called Israel. But the south is ruled by lineage and the heritage of David. Watch how the blood works now. The king on the throne is still one who bears David's bloodline. And because of God's promise, what happens to Israel in the north does not happen to Judah in the south. Amen. Assyria cannot conquer Judah. Yeah. Not because they were so good, because David's bloodline.
That's it. Yeah.
The king on the throne is still one who bears David's bloodline. God promises what happens to Israel in northern, nor does not happen to Judah in the south. Assyria cannot conquer Judah. Uh-huh. Fast forward 200 years. Mm-hmm. The winds of disobedience that caused Israel to lose to Assyria have now blown swiftly into Judah.
Well.
The people have rebelled against God. Disobedience runs the land. And the Bible said every man was doing what was right in his own mind. As a result, in order to prevent them from the same destruction that Israel suffered at the hands of the Assyrians, God begins to send prophets to Judah with a word that was not popular or welcomed. One of those prophets was a brother by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's prophecy was not like prophecy we see on television and all these odd shows on TVN. Jeremiah did not promise that blessing was on the way. Jeremiah did not show up and say, if you sow a seed offering in this ministry and that ground, you will handle, God will handle all your needs. No. That wasn't the word. Jeremiah showed up, and this was the prophecy of Jeremiah. God is growing weary of you. Either get right or it's going to go real wrong real quick. Clean up or the Lord is going to take some swift action. Get your house in order, or the Lord is going to discipline you. The Bible says when Jeremiah gave this prophecy, and it was not received well, there were those who heard Jeremiah's prophecy and argued that what he had asked Israel to do was hopeless anyway, because they have been doing wrong for so long, and messed up so badly, and fallen so short of the will of God, that they reached a point that there was no possibility of change. Can I pause right here parenthetically? That is what the enemy does when you and I find ourselves in repeat patterns of sin. Y'all just understand what I just said? When we keep doing the same thing over and over, that's what the enemy does to us. When you find yourself struggling with the same thing time and time again, the enemy creeps into your mind and convinces you that there's no way for you to change the habits you have formed.
Oh, watch that.
Have you ever met people that instead of changing, they just try to cope with the way they are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of trying to change, no, you just settle for the way you are. Well, I ain't bad as I used to be. No, God said change.
Amen.
Instead of trying to be delivered, they're trying to balance it. Instead of trying to get rid of it in their lives, they're trying to cover it up in their lives. The devil has convinced you, and there's no way for you to change. Look how many times you said you wouldn't do it again. And you do it anyway. Look how many times you cried, went to the altar, had somebody pray for you, only find yourself back in the same situation.
Amen.
Look how many times you told God, if you bring me out, I'm just, I swear God, if you bring me out, only find yourself back in it again. There is a hopelessness that exists in Judah. And when God realizes that the children of his children have become hopeless in the possibility of change, he says to Jeremiah, I got to show you something so you can preach the right word. Meet me, Jeremiah, down at the potter's house. Jeremiah goes down to the home of a potter, and when he walks in, the man is making something on the pottery wheel, and it is in his hands.
Yeah.
Follow me very close. It is in his hand. The Bible says that Jeremiah noticed that whatever the man is making is marred, messed up.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
It has some flaws in it. It has not turned out as it should. It's defective, afflicted. This potter who has his hands on the clay, the Bible said, when he noticed that it is marred, messed up, got some flaws in it, hadn't turned out the way he envisioned it, the potter makes it again into a vessel that seems good to him. Someone say, make me again, God.
Make me again, God.
The Bible said the vessel that he made of clay was marred. So he made it again.
Yes.
I need you to highlight that word in your Bible. I know if it ain't your Bible, highlight it anyway. Highlight the word again.
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 There are two meanings for this word in the Hebrew. Can I go Hebrew on you? One word meaning means to recreate. The other means to repair. Stay with me. The word again that shows up in verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 17 here, Jeremiah chapter 18, it's not the word recreate, but it's the word repair. So the potter has clay that's marred in his hands, and he sees that it is not what it should be. He does not have to recreate it. All he has to do is repair it. That's why he does not take his hands off of it.
Yes, yes.
For those of you that have not figured out the difference between a recreation and a repair, it's simple. The level of effort it takes on behalf of one who is doing the work to change what needs to be changed is so the emphasis is on the potter. Looks at what Jeremiah sees. This is what the emphasis is. If you have to recreate it, he takes his hands off it and gets something else.
That's it.
God, I don't want you to get rid of me. Keep your hands on me, God.
Yes.
Fix me, Jesus, fix me.
Yes.
Fix me like you said you would.
Yes.
What y'all talking about?
Amen.
So the emphasis is the potter looks at Jeremiah, is at what Jeremiah sees and says, listen, all this needs is a repair.
Yes. Well.
Just a tune-up.
Yes.
Just a little fixing.
Yes.
What looks like a major thing for you, it's not a major thing for me. All I have to do is tweak this a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm loving this. All I have to do is put my hand on it and keep my hand on it.
Yes.
Even though it looks bad to you, it is not that bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can repair it because it's not a major thing for me, God.
That's it.
Here's why you need to hold on to that. The devil has a way of making you believe all hope is gone. The devil has a way of making you think that there are no other chances, that you are messed up so bad that the rest of your life, you should be hopeless. Your mistake will haunt you for the rest of your days.
Yeah.
The devil's a lie.
Yes,
that you will be defined from the moment, from this moment on, by what you have come through.
Yeah.
God told me to tell somebody up in here, if it was left up to you, you would have to recreate it.
Yeah.
If you allow me to keep my hand on it,
yeah,
just take it just takes a God said, no matter how bad it's gotten, no matter how ugly it looks, no matter how much it hurts you, God said, if you let me keep my hand on it and work my work and on it, give me time to make it again another. I'm able to fix what hurts. I'm able to heal what hurts you. I'm going to change what convicted you. Heal what is holding you back. All you have to do is let God keep his hand on you. There's some witnesses in here that when you really turn it over to the hand of God, God can work miracles in your life. When you trust God with everything, God will turn it into the best thing you ever seen in your life. If you allow God to put his hand on it, God can take ugly and turn it beautiful. God can take sin and turn it into salvation. God can take a habit and bring deliverance from a habit. God can take what you used to drag you down and use it to lift you up. God is able to turn things around. It's just a repair. It's just a fixer for God. So the Bible said he did not take his hand off it because he made it again another. He did not take his hand off because all it took was a repair. But the Bible said he shaped it into what seemed good to him. If you think God will fix you up, you will keep acting the way you've been acting. The devil's a lie. God said, when I fix you, I'm not going to kick you to the curb. I'm not going to kick you off the wheel. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to make you again another. When I fix you up, your things are going to be like I want you to fix. I know how to turn this into the best thing ever in your life. If you allow God to put his hand on it, let me keep my hand. God can take ugly, turn it beautiful. God can take what you used to drag you down out here and lift you up. Stay with me, saints. This means while the potter has his hands on some dirty, broken clay, he doesn't just see that the clay is marred. He doesn't see how raggedy you are. If God sees how raggedy you are, he's looking at how raggedy you are, he would have left you a long time ago.
Yes, he would.
He has vision in his mind of what you and it are to look like. So while he is working with what is broken, he also has an envisionment of what it will look like when he is done with it. Don't put your hands on me if you don't know what to do with me. I wish I had some young women in here. Y'all take this tip to them. Don't let no nigga put that hand on you if he don't know what to do with you. If he ain't got no vision for your life, no, making you feel good for a few minutes ain't nothing. Oh, let's go. I'm sorry. That's another message. God is able to balance what is broken with what he knows is capable of being and becoming.
All right.
That makes him different from everyone else. Everyone else only sees what is marred, but he sees the vision he has in his mind of what it can be, what it should be, what it could be. What makes God God is, yes, he sees my brokenness. Yes, he knows my sinfulness. Yes, he knows my iniquity. But God also knows my possibility.
Yes, sir.
God also knows my potential. God also knows what he has created me to do. In my mother's womb, God will not give up on what he still has a vision for. He said, when you was the bed of your womb, I knew it in your mother's womb. I knew you. God will not give up on what he still has a vision for you. So here's what makes the potter so phenomenal. The potter says, you came down to the potter's house. You need to know, I've been dealing with clay a long time. That's what you need to know. This is not the first marred clay I've had to deal with and put my hands on. You're not the first broken life that God the potter had to put back together. You're not the first person with a hang up that God had to deliver. You are not the first person to go through a storm that God had to bring somebody through. The devil has a way of convincing you I'm the only one that's ever walked in these shoes. No, you ain't one. It's, you ain't nothing new up under the sun. You think you someone that went through what you're going through right now.
That's right.
You need to stop out of the pity party, stop whining and put some big girl and boy's pants on.
Amen.
Lord, somebody just want to tell you, God has been handling your problem a long time.
Yes.
God's been delivering saints like you a long time. God's been healing that sickness you got a long time. Let me tell you why that is such a good word. God said, listen, when I put my hand on clay, I know it was going to be dirty before I put my hand on it. I knew this was going to be a mess when I put my hand on it. I know you were a mess when I put my hands on you. I knew you would not be perfect when I put my hands on you. But with your imperfected self, the only way you're going to make it through into an imperfect world, into a perfect heaven, is for me to keep my perfect hands on you.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
I knew you would mess up. I knew you would mess up from the time you walked in the door after that last prayer and you said you wouldn't do it. I knew you would mess up again. I knew I couldn't count on you. Because as soon as you got back where you were, guess what? Guess what? You need to realize, all of us need to realize here right now, we ain't going to get the God ain't delivered us from nothing that we really like.
That's true.
Amen. You got to get tired in your mind that you're sick and tired of being tired.
That's it.
I'm sick and tired of doing it. Because if you ain't sick and tired, God going to force nobody to do nothing.
That's it.
Nobody here robots.
Nobody.
And that's why Adam, that's why God had a tree in the garden.
That's it.
If God could have fixed Adam and Eve, they only had, it was, he said, jump, they said, how high?
Right.
Sit down, where you want me to sit down? No, he came and said, here's the tree of good and evil. Don't touch it. If you do, if you do, you will surely die. He didn't say, I'm not gonna let you go there. He didn't put a force field around every time it bumps off them. No, he said every time they walked out, he said, well, tell me if. He said if. God threw the if in there on them.
Yeah.
He threw the if in there on them. If being, I touch it if I want to. So here comes Satan. Satan messed it. Satan hangs around in your if.
Yes, he does.
So he comes to Adam and Eve and he says to Adam and Eve, I know this is in the text, but I got to illustrate an irrefutable fact for you. Because when the Satan says, oh, I'm getting your if. He said, if you eat this, you'll be smarter than God. If you do this, you know the difference between life and death. If you do this, you know Eve walk around the garden with no panties on. Can I just say that, Deacon Frello?
Yeah!
I know in the book, because in the came up, he said, Adam, why you don't even hide? What's wrong? When they, he said, who told y'all were naked? I knew you would mess up. I know you would not be perfect. I knew you would fall short, but I still wanted to put my hands on you. What this is, because let me tell you something. Let me tell you why I want to put my hands on your imperfect self. Let me tell you why. Because I'm such a powerful and all-knowing God.
Yes.
Let me tell you why I want to put my hand on you. Because if I was a patient God,
yes,
I would have spewed you out of my mouth. But I'm a patient God. That got my attention. I'm almost done. We serve a patient God.
Yes.
So often in our clique of church, we emphasize you ought to just wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord renew their strength. That's what we like to say. I know y'all fall into it. Y'all know that.
Yeah, we know it.
He may not come when you want him. It's always on time. We talk about us waiting on God, Sister Furlow. But here's the real good news. God will wait on us. It is never too late to let God put his hands on you. Because God's waiting on you.
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm about done. I didn't shout and holler and scream. I think I broke a little sweat.
Amen.
But it got good to me anyway, Deacon Drayton.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave him this. How can I forget the fruit and have God sitting there waiting on you? I better make it applicable to you. I know what I use. Uh-huh. I had a coworker. Yeah. She had to go from Fort Lauderdale to Dallas, Texas. She had a new train. And she had to fly in such a manner in which she hates to fly, she had to use connecting flights. And when she told me things, they preached to me, I said, I'm going to use this. I'll try myself to get one-way flights. I don't like this connecting stuff because it seemed like the first flight was late. I'm bound to miss the second flight because they care less that the other plane may be late. I don't want to be then the airport, forget that. The river's so big. I never was not used to, I can't run like O.J. Simpson to the airport. If you're too young, you won't understand O.J. Simpson running to the airport. I want connecting, I want one-way flight. But let me tell you how God is. She said she had a connecting flight. She had to switch planes in Atlanta to get to Dallas. She said she didn't want to go. She said, Warren, you know, Atlanta, big airport. I said, I know. She said, American Airlines left late from Fort Lauderdale. Not because American Airlines, but because this, all this coronavirus stuff making flights go crazy. People get delayed. Flights get canceled. It's just crazy. So she got into Atlanta late. And she said, she landed 2 minutes after the other plane was supposed to leave. And she's rushing to get to the other gate. Of course, which is on the other side of the airport. So she said, all I can do is try. I'm trying to get there because I really don't know if they will wait on me. But I got to try and make it. So she's rushing, recognized there. She get there. Just as they click, 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 close the door. She ain't going to shout now. And she runs up. The door's closed. But you have those people, those tenants, sitting there that were checking people in to go on the flight. Uh-huh. When she runs up, she said, they say, Miss Diego, we've been waiting on you.
Well.
She said, what? We've been waiting on you. She said, but the door closed. She said, yeah, to keep the AC in. We were waiting on you. What you mean waiting on? Because we were told you were coming.
Yes.
I said, what you mean they told you were? She said, we had your name. And they said that you were on the way. We just needed to be patient till you get here.
Yes.
They said, well, how you know we come? Because they say, because she changed her mind on the first flight. God knows why, because you'll change your mind to make up your mind. And he will sit there and wait on you to.
Yes.
He will wait on you to get to where you're going.
Yes,
uh-huh. I don't care what time you put it. He ain't leaving the flight, ain't checking off without you.
Thank you, Lord.
God says, let me keep my hand on you.
Yes.
When I get my hands on you, everything will be all right.
Yes.
All your job to do is to stay on the wheel.
Yes.
Don't jump ship. Don't quit the church because you mad about something. The devil's alive.
Amen.
Don't quit God. No, stay on the wheel so the potter can keep his hand on you. Because the potter got his hand on you. Yeah, you messed up, but guess what? The potter know how to make you again another.
Yes. Amen.
I like that because yeah. I done got to the point where my walk with God now, sister, and I can tell when he got his hand on me. It don't feel good all the time. The surgery don't feel good, but I know the master surgeon is working on me, and I know if I just stay on the operating table, that everything will be all right. God won't take his hand off. And that's done. I'm sharing now. You got good to me. But I know sometimes you want to jump ship. But guess what?
Yes.
Sometimes God won't take his hand off. He won't let you get off. You want to jump in quick sometimes? Have you ever feel like just throwing in a towel? And then you got to throw the towel in. I threw the towel in, Sister Thomas, and the towel came back and hit me in the face. I said, what's up with that? I said, God, I said, you think you can jump ship now? He said, but I choose you. You didn't choose me. He said, I'll never take my hand off you. You can't quit now. I'm done. It got good to me. God won't let you go. He won't let you go. I don't care how hopeless it looks. He won't let you go. Stand your feet.